That sounds good. Good to see you. Stand with me. I'm excited about worshiping Jesus. I got any worshipers out there? All right. He is good all the time. I tell you, I get to spend the first hour of my Sunday in the back with little people. I've got Play-Doh under my fingernails, but that's okay. But, man, can we learn so much. There's a reason the Lord told us to become like little children. All right. They trust. They love. It's amazing. I'm a child of God. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm a child of God. All right. Let's praise Him. Let's praise.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul. forth. Let everything,
yes,
that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we do give you our praise this morning. You are so worthy. God, you're faithful, you're true, and there's no one greater than you. So, Lord, how can we be quiet? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Amen. Amen. I don't think we can praise him enough and tell of his goodness and greatness. When I think about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords stepped out of heaven. He didn't have to. Stepped out of heaven for me. For me. It humbles me every time. When we magnify the Lord, and we tell him, Lord, you are so great. It makes our problems diminish. When we center our attention and love and affection on him and praise on him. Come on, I want you to sing this with all of your heart today.
Thank you, Jesus.
Then sings my
sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
Oh, I praise you. Thank you, Lord.
How great thou art. How great thou art.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. If we could have the deacons to come up now for a time of prayer. And as I was praying yesterday, I feel the Lord told me, some of you need to dream again. You need to dream again. There's things in your life you know the Lord has for you, and you've put it on the back burner. A lot of things can cause our dreams to fade. Cares of this world, busyness. You need to dream again. You need to see yourself the way the Lord sees you. He says you're chosen and you're favored and you're blessed. I want you, as you sing this song, if you have any need at all, please come up. This is according to the book of James, where he tells us that we can do this. We can call for the elders of the church, and they'll pray the prayer of faith. They'll anoint with oil, and the Lord is the one that does the work. If you need to dream again, I would love for you to come up and just let them pray with you and just say, things have clouded out, they've crowded out, and I just want to hear the Lord's voice again. Amen.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me.
Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child.
Grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died.
In my heart.
You can still come up. Come on up and have prayer.
Better than you, there's nothing.
You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning into dancing.
Amen. You believe it?
You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the
place. The King is in the house. Come on, open up your heart. Let Him touch you today. Amen. I know who I am, 'cause I know who cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven, and I have a future, and it's worth. To be
tending a grave, I was called by name, born and raised back to life again, and I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours.
Yes, I am.
And I was made for more.
not know who I am. 'Cause I know who you are. Yes, I know you, Lord. Come on. The cross of salvation was only the strong. Now I'm chosen, free and forgiven. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And I have a future. Yes.
I wasn't
Come on. He called you out today.
Born and raised back to life.
Come on, you're made for more.
And I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more.
Amen. Let that get in your spirit today. Praise your name, Lord. You can be seated.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Try it again. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
There you go. That's a lot better. Hallelujah. Welcome this morning. We're glad that you're here to worship with us at Bridge of Hope. Welcome all of those that are watching online. We're glad that you're worshiping with us this morning. Especially want to welcome all of our guests this morning to worship with us. If you're here for the first time, I would invite you to swing by the Welcome Center after service. And we have a special, very delicious gift for you. And so if you stop by and pick that up, they'd be happy to oblige you with that. I want to, on announcements this morning, encourage you all to keep your eye on the calendar. There's a lot of stuff that happens every single week, and all of it's updated on there. So if you don't have the Church Center app, the calendar, so that you can see that, swing by the Welcome Center, and Carla will help get you hooked up with that so that you can see everything that's happening. There's so many things that are going on. On April the 6th, we will be having our annual business meeting here immediately after the service. And then today, immediately after service, they're having a meeting for the hospitality, all the hospitality workers. So for greeters, ushers, coffee bar, welcome center, and the van ministry volunteers. So if you serve in any of those, ask you to stay after service in the sanctuary here for a short meeting for that. Today, we have a very special brother, friend here. I'm going to speak just a little bit about what they're going to share, but it's a little bit backwards, but I'm going to talk about offering. So we've been talking to you about today's offering is for Africa, for them specifically. And so if you are giving today, if you're giving online, make sure that you do it under missions. If you want to give here, as you leave, we're going to have a couple people at the doors to receive offering. And so if you want to mark it specifically on your envelope for Street Reach Africa, you can do that. But again, if you're doing it online, make sure that you do it under missions. So anything that we do will be designated for that. If you've given and you've marked it to missions, then that's what that will go for as well. So we really appreciate you doing that. Also, our prayer focus for this week, I really just felt that it's supposed to be for Brother Dustin, Christy, and Colin. I just want to ask all of you that you mark your calendars this week specifically for a prayer time, and that you lift them up for the call that God has on them, for the ministry that they're doing specifically in Africa, that you just pray that God would use them, continue to use them, give them vision for that. So I want to pray now and then welcome him up here. Father, I just thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for how you're moving already in our service, God. And I just pray a special blessing, Lord, over Dustin, Christy, and Colin. I pray, God, that you continue to give them vision, God, for the plan and the calling that you've put on their lives, God, as they're missionaries for Africa, Lord. I just pray that you continue to use them. I pray that you just give them continued vision and direction, God. I just rebuke the enemy from operating anywhere in their lives, God. I pray for a hedge of protection, physical protection around their bodies, their home. I pray, God, that they would just be so united together and moving forward that the enemy sees and knows that there's no purpose of even trying because they're surrounded by an army of angels on all sides. God, we thank you and praise you for what you've done and what you're continuing to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome my friend and brother Dustin to speak to you this morning. And Christy.
I guess I'm speaking first. Yep. So first of all, I'm just so thankful to see all of you again. It took me a minute to get in the door because I've become friends with so many of you because we've been here so many times and we love coming to Paris, Tennessee. You guys are super supportive of us and it's really hard to believe how much you guys support us. There's even several people in here today that have specifically given quite a bit to our ministry. There's somebody here that has given quite a bit for our Bibles in that ministry, and we're just so thankful. What we do can't be done without all of you supporting us through prayer, finances, however you guys do. Pastor Eric and Treva, thank you so much for all you do leading the church to be supportive of all missions, including ours. And we're just so thankful. Other thing that I want to say is I appreciate so much a worship team that can play the old hymns. How Great Thou Art is so, so good. And I hope that the younger generation understands how important those old hymns are. You know, there's nothing wrong with the contemporary music, but How Great Thou Art, classic, amazing. I'm thankful for the leadership on the worship team and all of you out there that sing and play that song. It was absolutely amazing. It got me on my knees. So thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Are you leaving?
We were talking outside, and we had this whole little deal planned we were going to do, and then I decided that she talks way too long. And so I was like, listen, I'm just going to take the microphone because we'll be here all day if I let you talk. We started sharing speaking more this last year probably. And I don't know how well that fared out for me, to be honest with you. She talks a lot. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. Actually, no, that's not what we're going to do. We want to share some stuff with you about Africa. I think it's really important that you see fruit. Like my wife said, there's a lot of you in here. Some of you I know, some of you I have no idea. But there's a lot of you in here. And, of course, Pastor Eric and your bride and the way that you pour into us as a congregation and as a church. But even individually, there's people here that have been pouring into what God's doing in East Africa. And it truly is a revival happening in East Africa. God's sweeping through countries in Rwanda and Uganda and Tanzania and Kenya, I think, is next on our map. It's been amazing what God's doing. And so I think it's important that you get to see that, right? Like, you give and you give and you give and you give and you hear reports and all of that, and that's great. But there's something about, also seeing it with your eyes. So, we made a way shorter video than we normally play, because we want you to see that. And then I'm just going to give you a few very short stats kind of what God's been doing with what you've been sowing into. I think that that's really important for you to hear. You know, fruit is what matters, right? Jesus said, if you want to know the tree, then you look at the fruit. You don't look at the tree, you look at the fruit, right? And so I want you to see the fruit of what God's been doing. I just think that's important. So, I'm going to ask Pastor Eric for just a little bit of grace with my 15-minute time limit that I have. And I told Christy on the way here, I was like, listen, he told me 15 minutes, which means I probably have about 23 and a half minutes. Because there's like this hidden deal with preachers that when you invite someone else to talk, you don't ever give them the number that they really have, because that's going to at least go over by 8 to 10 to 15 minutes, right? And so when he said 15, I'm like, well, I got 23 and a half then. I mean, you know, that's... So, no, I'm not going to take that long. But this is really important, and I want to share this with you because I think it's important for all of you to hear. You know, we're going to do everything I just said, and that was originally all we were going to do. But this morning, God put a really short word on my heart, and he dropped it on my heart, and I wrestled with it all morning, to be honest with you, because Pastor Eric was like, hey, you know, so we're going to play this video, we're going to talk a little bit, you know, and that's, you know, 15 minutes. And I'm like, well, that's going to be hard to do, God, you know, with this time limit thing I got going on, you know, if you want me to give this word. And so I've really been wrestling with that all morning. And I want to tell you what happened. I walked in the door, and it doesn't matter who, but somebody walked up to me. I mean, as soon as I walked in the door, he walked up to me and he gave me a hug. And he said, I heard you're not preaching today. And I said, no. And he said, but I know God gave you a word. And I went, thank you, Lord. I said, well, Pastor Eric's going to have to give me some grace, I guess, because that was my confirmation I was waiting on, you know. But I'm sharing that with you because, listen, the enemy's always going to try to come and snatch the word that God gave you. He's always going to come and try to silence that, because once it's released, it can't return void. You understand what I'm saying? So the only thing he can really do, he can't change or alter the word of God once it's been released, right? But what he can do is try to keep it from ever being spoken. He can do that. And so I just want to share that with you, all of you individually, right? And when you hear the Lord speaking something to you, man, and you know it was God, you open your mouth and you say what God told you to say, and he'll work out the rest of those details. Okay? Amen? Amen. So I'm going to get into those stats, but I'm going to share this word first, because I feel like it's really what God wants to do. So in Zechariah chapter 4, I'm just going to read 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 really quick, and I'll let you get there. I'll give just a minute. And while you're flipping there, Zechariah 4, starting in verse 6, again, we just want to say thank you to Bridge of Hope and all that you guys have done for this ministry and for East Africa, and most importantly, though, for the kingdom of God. You're not laying treasure up for yourself. You're laying treasure in heaven up for yourself. And one day, some of you in here are going to have a great bounty waiting on you when you walk in the door. And I don't know what that looks like, and I don't know all the details of it, but I do know that Jesus said you're laying up treasure in heaven, so you got something waiting on you. Like I said, I don't know what it looks like, but there's some of you in here that are givers and to lots of things besides just this and what we're doing. But I just want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, because one day soon, I think, you're going to walk in the gates of heaven, and there's going to be something waiting on you. And because Jesus said so. So you just keep doing what you're doing. Praise God. Okay, so Zechariah chapter 4, starting in verse 6. If you can, if you would, stand up. I still like to honor the reading of God's word whenever I'm going to read it. And I'll get through it real fast for you. Like I said, this is not a long message. It's very short-winded. This is what it says. Then he answered and spoke unto me and said, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me and said, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, his hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? And they shall rejoice and see, and they shall see the plummet or the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven that are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." Okay, you can be seated. Praise God. The only thing that God is wanting to say to you is this. He kept saying, despise not the small things. And this is literally specific to this church. I don't know how many of you have been here, for this whole ride since we've connected with you guys. But it's very prophetic. There's been a very prophetic tone, that has been involved with Reignite Street Reach and Bridge of Hope Church. It just has been. I don't know why, but there has been. And so if you've been around for any time at all, then you've been kind of, involved in that prophetic flow, I guess. And so this is just God continuing that, I think. And I just heard him whisper this morning. He said, despise not the small things. And he said it twice. And I said, okay. So then I looked up the scripture, and that was it. And what I got out of that, and he said, I want you to tell the testimony of Street Reach, and I'm going to give you the short version. So when Reignite Street Reach started, we were in a garage at a house in the middle of the ghetto, no kidding, and we were making food boxes because we were ignorant, I guess, and thought we had to carry giant boxes down the street instead of bags. And then one day we realized bags work a lot better than boxes. But anyway, we were making these boxes out of this garage in the middle of the hood in this old beat up house, right? And there was like six of us, and we just knew that's what God told us to do. And so we were just being obedient, and it was a really small thing, right? It was a really small thing when this thing got started. There was nothing to it. It was a garage, and it was seven or eight people, and it was some food and some boxes, and we were carrying them out and walking out into the neighborhood with them, and that's all it was. Now, you fast forward 3 years later, and there's been thousands and thousands and thousands of salvations in countries that are being... Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so 3 years ago, and I'm just being obedient to what God told me to do. So 3 years ago, we were in a garage that barely opened. The door wouldn't hardly open because it was falling off the hinges, right? And we were making food boxes. And if you would have drove by and seen us 3 years ago, never in a million years would you have said that same group of people are going to be in Africa going to four different countries with thousands of people getting saved and lives being changed and villages being transformed, right? Like, you would have never known that by looking at it. And this is what God is trying to say. So to the church, Pastor Eric, this is what God is saying. He's saying that everything that has happened up to this point has been a small thing. This is everything that has happened has been you in the garage with those seven or eight people and those few food boxes. And that's what this all has been so far. And God says, despise not the small beginnings or the small things. Despise not, because he began with your hands to lay the foundation, and he will end with your hands to finish it. And thus saith the Lord unto you also, anyone that is contrary to that one day will see you standing with it finished, with the plumb line in your hand. To all of you individually, okay, wherever you are in your life and in your walk and whatever it is, you may think that whatever God has you doing is a small thing. You may think that wherever you are right now, it does not carry much weight. You might think that wherever you're doing right now is not impactful. You might think that you may look around and even the enemy may use one of the best tactics he has, which is called covetousness, right? And you look at other ministries or ministers and you're like, man, why they got all these things going on, and how come they're so successful? And I'm not even hardly making an impact or whatever. And listen, God just wants to encourage you individually and say to you that even though you think that you're in a small beginning, indeed only it is the beginning, and to be encouraged, because what he started with your hands, he will finish it. And when it's all said and done, right, your what looks like a beat up garage door with seven people and some food boxes one day may turn into nations. And so don't despise, this is really important, don't despise where you are. Don't grumble and complain about where you are. Don't wish you had more. Don't keep asking for God to do something different than what he's already doing with you. But instead, thank him for where you are. Despise it not. Because if you don't, then wherever you are now, God will finish it. And at the end of it, you'll be the one standing there with the plumb line in your hand. Amen? Amen. So I don't know who that's for individually. I definitely know what it was for with the church, but I don't know who that's for individually in here. But there's some of you that have allowed the enemy to view you where you are, and your perspective has been that of a small thing, and you've even began to despise it. And God's saying, change that. Change that. Because you never know where you'll be 2 years from now and what I'll be doing with you. But you first have to thank him for where you are now. We were so filled with joy in that garage, man. You know what I mean? Right? Like, we were like, whoo, this is awesome. You know, we got giant boxes we can't even carry, and God's given us enough money to put food in them, and we're going to go talk to 10 people today. Right? And we were ecstatic about it. And that's what God's trying to tell you. You need to be ecstatic about wherever you are and wherever he's got you. You should just be ecstatic about it. Because God will take that when you're finished, and you'll be the one standing there with the plumb line in your hand. Because he will finish what he started. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. I'm going to let you see this video if we got it back there. Tech folks. Thank you.
God of Jacob, great I am, King of angels, Son of man, voice of many waters, song of heaven strong, louder than the thunder, make your glory known.
Listen, if you have not got on the puddle jumper yet, you should. As I called an airplane, by the way. If you have not got on an airplane and decided that you're going to take that trip, I encourage you to do so. Videos are awesome, man, but when you're standing in the dirt, you can ask anybody from here that's been. It's a whole different deal. And so if you ever want to go, we got a lot of people that know how to get a hold of me here, and all you got to do is let me know, and we can talk about it. So I'm going to give you some really quick numbers. We've taken a total of 6 trips in the last almost 2 years. This is a crazy number to me, 5,723 salvations. Praise God. Hallelujah. 5,723 salvations. Don't ask me how people keep up with that number. They do. They give it to me. I tell you, but they do a good job doing it. 5,723 salvations. This was really cool. Over 7,000 Bibles have been handed out in 4 different languages, by the way. Man, that's awesome. And I say this everywhere we go because it's important. Just because that person got saved and we gave them a Swahili Bible or a Kinyarwandan Bible or a Ugandan Bible or whatever, listen, we believe 100% that Bible went to their house. And their mom or their dad or their sister or their brother or their whoever, man, that Bible, that Word of God, man, is continuing that number I told you, 5,700, whatever, that's all we know about. But I believe very much because of those 7,000 Bibles that salvations and salvations and salvations and salvations and salvations have been coming, because that's what the Word of God says it'll happen, right? That is amazing to me, that many Bibles have been handed out in that many languages, I think is awesome. We've gone through, I'm just kind of hitting the highlights of the video. We went through, 6,000 pounds of food so far that have been handed out to over 1,000 homes in 100 different villages. That's awesome. And when you're hungry, that's really awesome, right? When I look at this stuff and I'm just like, and I go back to that garage, right? and I'm just, just amazing what God's been doing. There's been now what I think is one of my favorite numbers to talk about is there's been 17 churches now in 3 different countries that have been established in the work, and they continue to go out every single month after we have come and gone, right? Well, they keep going out, and we send them money so that they can go to the market and buy food bags so they can keep using food as a door opener to talk to people about Jesus, right? So we send them that money and support them on a monthly basis. And here's what's really cool. After yesterday, I got some more numbers came to me, but the combined total from those 17 churches that have gone out after we've left, there's been over 1,200 souls that have given their life to Jesus without us even there, right? Praise God. You know, that is that's John 15:16. I ordained you that you should go produce fruit, but that your fruit should also remain, right? And we're seeing that real quick, just to tell you, because it's cool, that Mundemu village well that was on the video there that you saw, I got pictures sent to me yesterday talking about fruit that remains. I got pictures sent to me yesterday, and that well got there. God said, put the well there. We put the well there, right? And so we did. And then I got all these pictures started coming through of all these crops, right? And like papayas and seeds planted and all this. And all these pictures started coming to my phone, and it was like all this farmland and vegetables and all that, right? And I'm like, what is this? You know, and I didn't know what it was. And then it gets down to the end of the pictures, and he said, hey, you remember that well that you put in Mundemu? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, this is what they're doing because they got that well. And so now there's all this food being produced for that village, right? Because, right, it's just... And it has nothing, that has nothing to do with us, right? We're not there. I'm here, right? It has nothing to do with us. It's the power of God and the Holy Spirit. And it's so important for you to see what God is doing with the seed that you're planting. Literally, the seeds that you planted, right? Like, it's just amazing, you know, to be a part of. So just, I hope you're just, you know, encouraged by hearing all of this. There's teachers in a village called Rafati, that are teaching reading and writing in Swahili, to a bunch of tribal members, basically, that cannot read or write. And, since they started that 2 years ago, there is now over 100 students that have come through there to know how to read and write Swahili. There's been 4 church plants. There's been 4 wells that have been dug in different villages. There's a recovery program that's a year-long discipleship program for recovering addicts and people coming out of jail and prison that has been established for men to come into that program and have their lives changed by Jesus Christ and stop those vicious cycles that they've been living in that has been now established and open. And there's a lot more. So... what a ride in 2 years, yeah? God's doing a lot. And you guys have had a lot to do with it, like I said. And we're thankful as a church and Bridge of Hope and Pastor Eric and Treva, and we're thankful for you and getting behind this. But we're thankful for all of you too individually, those that I know and those that I don't that have put seed into this thing. And I just want you to be encouraged. So we have a June trip coming up. Those are the dates for you. The quickest way for you to remember that is take a picture of it or ask Dale because he can definitely remind you. There's 4 trips that we got going. It's not too late to jump on that airplane. The cutoff day is April 15th. So really, you still have about 2.5 weeks where you can decide, hey, you know what, let me get on that trip. You have those different options of dates for you to go. It's just the way God told us to do it this time. It's the first time we've ever had multiple trips like that, in one mission. But that's the way God told us to do it. So we're doing it that way. It presents its own set of challenges, but it also presents a lot of reward because, where a lot of people couldn't go because we were gone for 17 days or whatever, and they couldn't be gone that long. And now you can jump on an airplane and be back in 7 days and still be a part of what God's doing. And so, anyway, those are the dates that you can do that. We want to hand out another 1,000 Bibles while we're there. 2 wells. We're doing 2 different outreaches in 2 different villages like the ones you saw on the video. They are unreached villages, by the way. They do not have Christian influence. There's not a pastor there. There's not a church there. They're all tribal or Muslim, mostly tribal. Okay. And so we're going to go into those villages and we are going to lift up the name of Jesus to every tribe and tongue because that's what the Bible says to do. So we're going to plant churches in both of those villages. We're going to put a pastor there and we're going to put some water in them because they don't have any. Praise God. And then we're going to do an addiction outreach for people that are struggling with addiction. We'll feed them a bunch of food and then preach and they'll get saved. Hallelujah. And hopefully come on into that program that I mentioned to you that is now open. And then we're going to do an open house there and invite like government leaders and whatnot from Dodoma, Tanzania. And they are going to come to that open house and kind of, you know, just kind of see what that is. So we'll be doing that. And then also street kids outreach. And that is, if you didn't know there was homeless 8-year-olds and 7-year-olds running around in Tanzania, there are. And they live on the street. They live in parks. And literally, they're 7 and 8 years old, and there's 18 and 19 year olds that are taking care of them, and they were homeless when they were 7 and 8 years old. And in Tanzania, anyway, it's a dangerous thing because they kind of are like more like animals. And so, if they don't have papers, and the law enforcement was to find them, they would lock them up just like you would a stray dog. And so, because they don't have any papers, and so those kids actually not only are they homeless, they also have to hide from the authorities so they don't get locked in what you your worst imagination probably of what an orphanage would look like, and so you know that you're in by the state. So be praying for them. Be praying for them. So anyway, that's our June mission and what God's told us to do this trip around. The total need for that started at about 25,000. It's actually not 21,000 anymore because God's faithful. So we still need about $14,000 is about what that's down to. Praise God, which is awesome because he's put about a $10,000 dent in that thing. But we still need about 14 grand. So to get everything done that we want to get done anyway. And so there's a QR code if you want to flip that up there. I know that there's going to be a different way for you to give and all of that, but I wanted to give you that one too. You can always scan that QR code with your phone, and we'll just leave it up for a second, I guess, while Pastor Eric's coming up. And then, you know, if you want to scan it with your phone and give digitally or whatever, that's the way that you do that. And then however Pastor Eric leads you to do the rest of it. But so again, from Christy and I and Reignite Street Reach and the Kingdom of God and East Africa, we are so thankful for all of you, and we're thankful that you had us again to come and talk about these things that God is doing. And but most importantly, above all of that, pray for us. Please, like Dale said, actually pray for us. Go is another thing that you can do, is please go. You know, if you hear the Holy Spirit tell you to do it, do it. And trust him, and he'll work it all out for you. And then, of course, you can give into it. But above all of that, I hope you take to heart the word that God had for you this morning, because it was very direct. And so take that and lock that in your heart. And when the enemy tries to snatch it, remember that the Lord spoke it. So, okay, amen. Good to see you guys. Pastor Eric, thank you.
Well, I'm just going to preach 15 minutes too, so. Amen. So originally, when we had worked this out, he was supposed to preach. And so we had started, I think that's the right, I threw my notes away. But about 2 weeks ago, the Lord put it on my heart for him not to preach and for me to preach. And so, and I don't really know what I'm doing, quite honestly. But I felt like the Lord said this. There is no church honoring Christy and Dustin. And he said, when you get them in the house, you honor them. And so that's why I changed. I really hated going back on my word, but I had to follow the Lord like you did this morning. And so we're here today, and I am going to preach to you a few minutes. But at the end of the service, we're going to take some time just to honor this couple. Because everybody in the body of Christ needs to be honored, but those that are doing the work of the ministry, double honor. And so we're just going to take some time and just love on this couple. And I want you all to be a part of it. I don't want you to be spectators. I want you to be participants. And so turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And I reserve the right to preach this sermon again, by the way, because I am not going to get through much of it. We went out to their house last night to Dale. Dale's house, he invited us out to spend some time with the Browns. And so we went out there, and oh, it was fun, and we were laughing. And then all of a sudden, Dustin threw cold water on the whole scene and just made me just shrink back. And he started telling the story about when Jesus fed the 5,000. And it's Mark chapter 6, you ever want to go there and look at this thing. And he said, it starts off by saying the disciples were tired. And they were trying to get away from the crowd. But the crowd knew where they were going, so the crowd went ahead of them. So when they got where they were going to rest, the people were already there. And so, so they ministered to them, I think, all day long. And one of the disciples, I think all the disciples got together and told one of them to go up there and talk to Jesus. And he said, Jesus, and, you know, to help these people out, we need to send them away so they can eat. They've been out here all day long. We need to send them out. And he said, you feed them. And so I don't think I can hardly go to Walmart anymore without the door greeter prophesying over me. I mean, it's everywhere I go, it's people saying, God's getting ready to do something in your church. God's doing something in your church. I mean, it's over and over and over and over. And then he asked me this question. It was literally like he reached up and slapped me. And he said, and he didn't know it. I don't even think he knew you said this, but this is the words that came out of your mouth. As you're telling me this story, he said, he looked and he's just talking and he said, will you turn them away? And it was all I could do not to weep. It kept me up all night. Either that or that drunken black coffee chicken, whatever you fed me. I'm pretty sure it was the Lord. But I kept telling the Lord, Lord, you know I'm not a quitter. I have never quit. I don't quit. I would still be leading song service, worship in Murray, Kentucky if they hadn't fired me. Let me go. God had a greater plan. So there's really no quit in me. I told the Lord last night, I said, Lord, you know, I could care less if I drop over dead in that pulpit. Matter of fact, I'd be really happy about that. My wife wouldn't, but I would. I'm not quitting, folks. God's going after. God's going after this city, and he's going to use you. And so he's literally writing it on the wall for us. God is making his voice well known. And so the Lord changed the title of my sermon. I had a really long, nasty title. And the Lord said, just tell them God is in the house. This weekend, we have people going to elsewhere to be with a group of believers that I have great respect for. But I feel like this weekend they missed it. God is in this house. And God wants to move. And God wants to minister to you. And there's a statement that God keeps talking to me about. He just keeps bringing this statement over and over and over to me. And it's this: God is gentle until he's not. God is gentle until he is not. You see, I want to tell just a bit of Dustin's testimony. Dustin was a drug addict. And I am convinced that God was gently nudging Dustin all of his life. But he was like a horse that the first time you put a bridle on him, yanking back. And God was gentle until he was not. And one night when Dustin thought he was going to die, he was wanted by the police. He was homeless. He was on the streets. And the Lord told him, said, there's a policeman. Just go knock on the window and tell him who you are. See, God didn't care that he was headed to jail. You know why? Because he was gentle until he was not. I believe with all my heart there's a lot of people in this church that love Jesus. You're just not obeying him. He is reminding you and talking to you and nudging you very gently. And the gentleness is getting close to stopping. Why? Because he cares about your soul. He wants you to be in his destiny. There is a Bible verse that men have taken and we have made it about us. And it says, touch not the anointed. And we preachers have out of fear that you would attack us, out of fear that you would say something to us, we've made this about us. It's not about us. What God is saying is don't touch the anointed plan. There is a destiny. There is a plan of God, and don't touch it. Don't grumble about it. God takes grumbling very serious. There is a plan for Paris, Tennessee. There is a plan for Bridge of Hope. It's to reach this city. It's to see a revival and see this city become transformed by God's grace. Some people don't like big churches. I don't really care for them. But God's in charge of that. And we're not going to turn them away. And they are coming. And they are coming to be loved on. To see a difference. See, we are the church. This is not a building. I worry with logistics. I'm like, how can we do this? I got to figure this out. It's like beating my head against the wall. It's God's work. And as much as I just told you, touch not the anointed, don't touch the plan of God, I got to remind myself to that. Now, the touch that I want to do is I want to try to fix it. I want to say, God, this church will hold 300 people. And you're telling me we're going to have 1,000. Lord, you keep upping the number. You're driving me crazy. You know what? It's God's business. It's God's business. All I know is we won't stop. We won't turn them away. And if God says feed them, we'll feed them. You hear me? This is my heart. Because God is in the house. Say, why do you know, Pastor, that God is in the house? Because you brought him with you. Amen. If you think this is about Treva and I, you're totally wrong. This is about the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. This is more about you than it is about me. I am to equip you for ministry. It's what we're doing. Do you know why I looked that word up, equip? It's to mend a broken bone. We're all broken. Aren't we? Every one of us, we're all broken. And God wants to use the fivefold ministry to mend your bones so that you can go out and you can share the love of Christ and you can help others find him. God's doing something. And guess what? You get to be a part of it. That's an honor. Paul starts this scripture out and he said, I'm a prisoner. You know what that means? I don't make my decisions. And until you see yourself as a prisoner, you're never going to understand the plan of God. You lay it down, you become his prisoner, and you walk in what he tells you to walk. And he said, now walk worthy of that. Worthy means that the plan of God and my behavior matches up. It's like it literally means balancing the scale. Are we balancing the scale of what God? See, as long as you come to the house and you think, boy, I'm so glad that God called the pastor. You're missing it. God called you. Not a one of us in this building is not called by God. And you've got to understand that because you're critically important. For too long, people have been looking at the people on the pulpit and saying, go, baby, go. No, no, that's totally wrong. Do you know Isaiah said this? He said, let the wicked man forsake his thoughts. It's Isaiah 55, I think it's about 6. Wicked means twisted. Do you know, our thoughts are so twisted that we think, How many, you better not get saved. God sends you to Africa. And then you get saved and God sends you to Africa and you find out, I'm home. This is wonderful. See, in your mind, your twisted thoughts, you think, I can't be a prisoner. I can't surrender everything to him because he's going to ask me to do something I don't want to do. But in your twisted thoughts, you don't realize that's where the joy is. When you totally surrender and you find yourself doing exactly what God has called you to do, and God has called you to do something. It's not just to sit on a pew and look at a pastor. Time you enlist. Time you get busy. It's time for us to work together following Christ. When Denny started coming to the church, I think you said the other day, about, I don't know, where are you at, Denny? Oh, there you about 11 years ago. I don't know, somehow when Denny started coming, our souls were connected. I don't think he knew it, but I knew it. And the Lord would talk to me. And so he took the longest time to determine he was going to come to this church. I mean, he was just frustrating the fire out of me. And I was back here greeting people at the door like we do. And Denny came to me. It's come through the line. And he leaned up to me. And he said, we've decided this is the church that we're going to start attending. And we're going to be faithful to attend here. And just like that, the Lord spoke these words to me. He said, I'm still building your foundation. He's very foundational. It was from the Lord. But my thoughts, I remember telling Treva on the way home what God had told me. I said, Treva, we're running 100 people now. And God just told me he's still building our foundation. How big is this thing going to be? And from what I received from him, we may still be working on the foundation. And you're important. You're a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk worthy of your calling because you are called. Walk, let your behavior and your beliefs balance out so that we begin to do the will of God. He goes on, he talks about the fivefold ministry. That's really where I thought I was going today. Wanted to talk about that, but it's not, I think, what the Lord really wants us to talk about. I think the Lord, for you, you need to hear this. God is gentle until he's not. Do you remember when Saul got saved? Remember what the Lord asked him? He said, how long are you going to kick against the goads? A goad was a stick that they would prod animals. That wouldn't be comfortable to kick against it. And I'm sort of asking you the same question. How long are you going to kick against what God has called you to do? Because in truth, that's where you're really going to find your joy. Some of you are being resistant. And God keeps nudging you very gently. God keeps prodding you. And I'm here to tell you today, you're getting close to where the prodding is going to stop. Let's get your nonsense together. Is that the love of a pastor? I want you to hear me. I want you to hear my heart. I want you to walk with Jesus 100% in his will and in his way, doing what he has called you to do. So together, we see the victory over. It's going to be bigger than Paris. I've now started to say West Tennessee. And who knows, that may be limited. Amen. I'm going to ask Dustin and Christy if they would come up. Sorry, I never really got to read the scripture, but that's okay. You got the message that I feel like the Lord wanted you to have. And I've never done this before. I've never felt impressed by the Lord to say honor a couple. But see, this couple is jumping in and out of the country. And when they are here, they're traveling to a lot of different churches. And I just felt like the Lord says nobody's giving them the honor they deserve. You see, he's our Father. And he loves his kids. And so the Lord told me last night to wash their feet. And so we're going to just follow the Lord. Also, we've got some flowers that we wanted to give to Christy. This lady's a real sweetheart. Now, when she prays for you, she don't seem so sweet. Because she's a tiger. But she's sweet through and through. God really complimented this man when he gave her this woman. I would ask for those of you that have been on a trip to Africa, if you would come and stand behind me, behind them. So I hope that you hear, these are not my thoughts. These are the thoughts of God. I'm just the prisoner today doing what God has said. But God is looking down from above. And he's saying, those are my kids. And I love them. And he doesn't feel like anyone is loving you enough. So he's asked us to reach way down deep and to represent the body of Christ. Not Bridge of Hope, but the body of Christ. And to love this family like they deserve. So I'm going to ask that you're not spectators today. Washing feet, Christ gave that as an example because he loved his disciples and he was teaching them a lesson. And so we're going to just, you got to get your shoes off, man. I ain't washing your boots. So.
I was waiting for you to stop talking. You had 23 minutes left.
And anybody else that wants to be a part of this, you're welcome to come. And just join with us and just love on this family. And the ushers is going to be back here receiving your offering for what they're doing. There's no greater seed than what you've had as an example today. It's a good thing to sow into. So let's take a few moments. Before we end, I want to give you a time to submit your heart to God so that you constantly walk in his gentleness. Does that make sense? I want you to walk in his gentleness. I don't ever want to see it stop in your life. But if it stops, it's still for your good. God is never unkind, but God loves you enough that he will stop the blessing so that you get on board with the plan of God. Amen. All right. Really? Somebody, you going to help me? Father God, we're so thankful, Lord, for this man of God. Lord, we pray right now for your blessings on Dustin. Lord, I pray, God, that the feet of the Lord would be anointed, Lord. God, I ask, Lord, in the Old Testament, Lord, they would anoint the right toe of the high priest, God. Lord, so that he would walk where you want him to walk. God, I pray, Lord, that he would hear the mind of the Lord, that he would hear the word of God better than he's ever heard in his life, God, that there'd be more clarity, God, but it would come from a point of love, God. Let the foundation be totally love, Father. Lord, we pray, Lord, for Christy, God. that she would know, Lord, your peace and your comfort, God, that she would know your presence, Lord, that she would, Lord, just bask in your time, God, Lord, that you would bring her into the secret place, God, and share the secrets of the counsel of God with her, God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what they're doing, God. It's wonderful what they're doing, but I pray the blessing upon their heads, God, upon their family, upon their children, God, upon grandchildren, Lord. We pray that this blessings, Lord, so that the influence of this man would not stop when he stops, but it would go down through the generations, God, that you would bless the seed, Lord. Lord, that you would minister, Lord, and add to, Lord. Multiply, Father. Multiply, Lord, the counsel of God. Multiply the influence of a godly man. Oh, Jesus, we worship you. Thank you, Lord, for the honor, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the honor. God, of being at their feet and serving them, Lord, as they serve you. God, we count it an honor, Lord, to be partners with them. Lord, may this apostle, Lord, take your word, Lord, wherever he goes, God. Lord, may the word flow out of him. May your spirit flow out of him. May the love of God permeate everything about him. Lord, help them to feel your love today. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Cares for you. God wants you to be fulfilled, and to be fulfilled, you must be in his plan. If you do not know Jesus today, the first step is to surrender. Submit to God and let him come into your heart. God wants to remove the sin and the shame of the past. He does not want your past to dictate your future at all. Only God knows what he wants to do with your life. But I promise you, you will rejoice when you surrender to him. For those of you that have been kicking against the plan of God, thinking that he's going to call you to do something you don't want to do, I'm asking you today to ask the Lord to forgive you and surrender that you want His will and His way more than anything else in your life. I want to pray for you. I want you to stand, though. If you're here and you're sick, you're just going to need some boldness. And might as well start now. So would you just stand and say, Pastor, that's me. I need to get on the plan with God. I need to do what He is asking me to do. Just cross this congregation if you'll just stand. Not only I, but many people want to pray right now for you. Father God, I have delivered what you put on my heart. Lord, we recognize that you are in the house. And Lord, where you are at, there's freedom, there's liberty, there's your presence that wants to set us free. There's a refreshing in the Holy Ghost, and there's a time to get things right. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would move and that you would minister. And Lord, that they would walk all the days of their life in the gentleness of the Heavenly Father. God, that they would align themselves and count themselves worthy to be called by you. That we would not envy anyone else's gift, but we would only do what you've called us to do, Father. I pray right now, Lord, let the plan and the counsel of God set on their hearts and their minds, Lord, as they surrender their heart to you. Thank you, Lord, for your gentleness. But God, thank you, Lord, that sometimes you give us more of a prod than others. That you will not leave us in that darkness, but you'll do whatever it takes to get us to know you, to walk with you. God, we love you. We worship you. We pray, Lord, today that 100% of this congregation will walk with you and will follow you all the days of their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, Brother Jimmy. Don't feel like you got to rush this. Take your time and just love on this family.
Dismiss the remainder of the service. Slight little correction to the announcement this morning. The meeting for the hospitality workers will be in the Sunday school room with the garage door. So if you're an usher, a door greeter, coffee bar, welcome center, if you do any of that, if you could meet us there real quick, we have a few things to go over. That'd be great. Stand with us as we close. God is so faithful. Amen. Raise your hand and receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord.